to it later. The title of the message today is Why You Need Mustard Seed Faith. But I have a subtitle, which I'm going to lead up to that mustard seed faith, and that is The Power of Unbelief. See, God is good. He loves us so much, but he always make a way for us. And there's a bridge that God has constructed for everyone to move on from the natural to the supernatural. He has given us a bridge. You do not have to stay stuck where you are. You can literally move from where you are, the natural, into the supernatural, but you got to cross the bridge. The bridge that God has constructed for you and for me to get from that natural to the supernatural is called faith, the bridge of faith. It is the only bridge that has been constructed for us. So if you don't use that bridge, you don't cross over. No matter how bad you want to cross over, no matter how much you need to cross over, without that faith bridge, you cannot move from the natural into the supernatural, because you can have a bridge that folk don't use. But a bridge unused becomes a useless bridge to those who really need it the most. What many of us need, either in our lives or in the lives of folk we know, demands the supernatural. And the reason you need to know that it demands the supernatural is that the natural hadn't fixed it. The natural hadn't changed it. The natural hadn't reversed it. The natural hadn't tweaked it. It has nothing to do. It didn't do anything substantial with it. And so it's time to cross over. But there's only one bridge, and that's the bridge of faith. Now, what you need to know is the power of unbelief. Because faith, if it's the only bridge and you don't have it, unbelief will keep you stuck where you are. Unbelief is so powerful. We read in Matthew chapter 13, verse 58, it says, "And he did not do many miracles because of unbelief." Jesus limits what he would do because of unbelief. Unbelief is so powerful, it will stop God's work in your life. Unbelief is so powerful, it'll keep God at a distance. Unbelief is so powerful that you can spend the rest of your life stuck, where you'll never cross over to see the supernatural. You will see other folks on the other side waving you, "Come on, come on," at you because you're scared to cross over. Some people are afraid to cross over that faith bridge. For where there was belief, unbelief, it says, there were few miracles brought. You think about that. Anytime Jesus Christ himself moved, everything he touched, everything he done, everything he did brought victory, brought power, brought restorement in every circumstance. But one thing that stopped him, that was unbelief. In Matthew chapter 17, we have a father whose son, he is called a lunatic. He is mentally unstable. He is off. Not only that, but he is ill. It says that he is a lunatic and he is ill. He's got mental problems. He's got physical problems. But he's physically impaired. The mental has influenced the physical. Not only that, he is suicidal. He throws himself in the fire and he throws himself in the water. That little seed that you have, and this boy's son is probably one of the worst cases that we have ever read of in the Bible or know of. What that little seed can do and what unbelief will stop it from doing. In Mark chapter 9 and in Luke chapter 9, both tell the same story as in Matthew. But Mark has an extension version of the story. This guy has lost it. We find out from other passages he goes on, he goes into convulsions. He has what you and I would call epileptic fits. This boy has all kinds of things wrong with him. But he has somebody in his life who cares about him. He has his father. It is a natural thing for a father to do is to care for his son. His father cared that he was suicidal, very sick, epileptic son, and he was mentally off, who needed to be delivered. And everybody in here, either you know someone which they need to be delivered, or you had needed some type of deliverance yourself. But I'm here to tell you, the natural cannot fix it. So what this daddy does, in verse 16 of Matthew 17, it says, "And I brought him to your disciples, and they could not cure him." He said, "I had a problem, and I went to your peeps. Jesus, I went to your people, your homies. I went to them, the ones who you have assigned to deliver folk out of their depression, out of their problems. And you said you gave them assignment. You made you deputize them to use your name in behalf. They're working on the behalf of your name." Now, let's answer the question. Why did daddy take his son to the disciples? The answer is found in Matthew chapter 10, verse 1. It says, "Jesus summoned his 12 disciples and gave them authority over unclean spirits to cast and to heal every disease, every sickness." So Jesus had deputized his disciples to act on his behalf, to help hurting folk, help them spiritually, help them physically, and help them circumstantially. So he told the 12, he deputized them, so to speak. "Now you are to go out there in my name, on my behalf, where I can't be there, or I'm not there. And one thing I want you to do, I want you to help folk and get those folk delivered." So they had been duly authorized to be deliverers on Jesus Christ's behalf. So that is why the father went to the disciples, who had been authorized to deal with the problems that his son was facing. He says, "Since Jesus has authorized you all to help me deliver my boy," he then goes to tell Jesus, "I went to the folk you told me to go to. I went to the folk you authorized me to go to, and your people could not help me." In other words, and you're going to see this in a minute, in other words, I went to church, and they couldn't help me. I went to the leadership. I went to the pastors. I went to the deacons, all those folk, and they could not help me. He brings this boy to Jesus. And when he brings his boy to Jesus, Matthew 17 and 17 says, "And Jesus answered and said, You unbelieving and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I put up with you? Bring him here to me." Now, notice what Jesus says before he says, "Bring the boy to me." He says, "You unbelieving and perverted generation." Listen to that word, generation. How long shall I be with you? How long shall I put up with you? Why is Jesus so upset? Well, he's upset because he says that you are a generation that has upset me because, watch this, you are unbelieving and your unbelief has made you perverted. Faithlessness leads to perversion. Your unbelief has perverted your thinking. It has perverted the way you operate. It has perverted how you look at me, and it's making me go through the same stuff over and over and over again. Because faithlessness leads to perversion. He says, you are perverted, and generation is perverted. Bring the boy to me. Now it says, when he brings the boy to Jesus, Jesus speaks to the demon, and the boy is cured at once. Jesus went to the source, because the source of the problem was spiritual. The mental problem, the physical problem, the jumping in the fire, jumping in the water, was fruit of another root. Every problem doesn't exist because there's a spiritual negative. In other words, you can have a headache just because something is wrong with you physically. It's not a demon. Here it is. When you know you hit the supernatural, when you've been dealing with stuff for years, you get your faith life right, and it disappears overnight if you get your faith life right. Because, see, that's the supernatural. You need the supernatural power of God for a lot of this stuff that we go through, day in and day out. We have been with us for years, and we know it's still going because we're still talking about it. And you're not talking about it to be a witness to anybody. You're talking about it because it's still bothering you. It's still got you deep in a ditch. It's still holding fast to you. You know, that's not natural. Because you have been dealing with this addiction. You have been dealing with this problem. You have been dealing with this mindset. You have been dealing with the circumstances. And you have tried and tried this and you tried that. It hadn't worked. And all of a sudden, you cross that bridge of faith. God comes out of nowhere and says, "Whoo! There it is. It's gone." It says when Jesus showed up, he sucked that thing out of that boy. Because it was spiritual, and Jesus addressed it spiritually. And the demon had to leave quickly. It didn't take forever. So Jesus cures the boy. Now, this is getting very interesting. Verse 19 says, "Then the disciples came to Jesus privately." Jesus, me and the boys, we need to talk to you. We want to know why all this is going on, why we couldn't do this. Because they called him privately because it was a bigger group there. See, and I guess by being ordained by Jesus and deputized by Jesus and nothing worked, they want to talk to Jesus. What's wrong here? The book of Mark says the scribes were there. It was a whole group there. Jesus, can we talk to you about this? And the second half of verse 19 says, why could we not drive it out? So Jesus answered that question in verse 20. He said to them, because of your littleness of your faith. The reason you failed was the power of unbelief. Your faith was so tiny. Y'all saw that seed. You know how tiny that seed is. If we had the faith of a grain of mustard seed, we could move mountains. Our faith won't nowhere near what that little bit of seed could do. The reason you failed was the power of unbelief. Your faith was so tiny that you didn't cross the bridge into the supernatural that you just saw me do, because your faith was missing. So what's the point? Your faith will determine your experience or lack thereof of the supernatural. He didn't say there was no faith. That's interesting. He said faith was so small. Your faith was, watch this, insufficient for the problem. It's strange because he dealt to every man the measure of faith. So we have faith whether we realize it or not. Reason I know you have faith, you work on a job. They promise you a certain salary. They promise you're going to pay you once a week. And you have faith in that. You know why you have faith? Because the company that you work for ain't showed you no papers that he had money in the bank. No auditor came by to show you that this money is there. You have faith to know that when Friday comes, this man going to give me a check. And when I carry the check to the bank, they're going to accept it and cash it. You had faith enough to believe that, right? But what if you lost your job and you needed money to pay those same bills that that company was paying? That faith will not make it. You need the faith that's going to be corresponding to what you need God to do. If I need to go deeper in faith to get what I want, you just got to go deep in faith to get it. The measure of faith you have has to maximize what you want God to do for you. You had enough faith to go to church. You had enough faith to be religious. You had enough faith to pick up the Bible. But what you had and what you needed didn't match. Our faith has to match with what God, we want God to do in our life. Now Jesus tells them the problem. The problem is our problem. Because he said it was a generational problem. He says he didn't do many miracles because of their unbelief. Matthew chapter 13, 58 says that. Now, he now wants to teach them something. And I'm going to try to fill you in what he's trying to teach. And it was a very phenomenal principle of us entering into the supernatural. And that's in verse 20. Verse 20, he says, I say to you, he is talking to his disciples, right? We are his disciples. If you have faith the size of a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move. And nothing will be impossible to you. He says, number one, you need mustard faith to deal with mountain-sized problems. It's quiet. Don't leave me yet. I'm not finished. I'm coming. He says, you need mustard seed faith to deal with mountain-sized problems. Mountains in the Bible are immovable circumstances, things you can't change. They are too big. In order to move a mountain, he says, you need mustard seed faith. Okay, y'all still here?
Yeah.
All right, hold on. You got this huge problem. You have this huge addiction, this huge crisis, this huge issue. It's really big. It's been there for years. You tried everything you know how to do to move it, and it wouldn't budge. Well, it looks like it's budging a little bit, but it hadn't moved. He said, what's missing is mustard seed faith. Now, that little seed that you looked at and you've seen, you complain, I have a little faith, but that little seed can move a big mountain. I'm a little confused. Let me tell you a little something about that mustard seed. That little seed that you have, you're holding the palm of your hand, you have to look at it straight, you need glasses to see it. Inside that seed, when planted, is a 15-foot mustard tree. So what made their faith little was the lack of life inside of it. It was a life issue, not a size issue. Because the mustard seed was used to refer to the smallest kind of seed you could ever have. And you see how small it was. The issue of living faith versus lifeless faith. So what makes your faith small is the absence of spiritual life inside of it. It's a void of spiritual life. James chapter 2 calls it dead faith. It's a faith without life. He says, when you have mustard seed faith, a living faith, you will tell that mountain what it must do. He says, it has to do with faith, but it has to do with living, natural living faith. So he tells them that this is the basis of seeing what appears to be impossible, of course, within the will of God. This is not the faith most Christians have. When you accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you have crossed over from death to life, from hell to heaven. You have a supernatural experience because you were given eternal life. We have been given eternal life. That was a supernatural act when you accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, when we accepted Him as our Savior. The problem is that the faith that saved us, that took us from the supernatural location that's in heaven, in our eternal destiny, we skipped or missed it when it comes to living faith in history. I'll explain that in a minute. So many of us are going to have to wait till we get to heaven before we see heaven. Because we did not live by faith on earth, so heaven couldn't visit us. Accepting Christ takes you to heaven. Living by faith brings heaven to you. So the problem today is that there are too many unbelieving believers. People who are unbelievers who are believers. But they live, they're believers, but they live unbelievingly. you're on a bus, let's say you're the bus driver, and you're on a bus, and you're taking a group of men from one place to the other, but you got to get there on time. You turned on a road, and the road was muddy. You got stuck. You raised the motor and backed up and pulled up and back up, and the only thing you did was made the hole deeper. But as you got up and looked at the situation, you remembered, I got some strong guys. I got 10 strong muscle men on my bus. I'm going to go and confront them and talk with them and get them to come out here and see if we can push this thing out this hole. So you get the men to come out, and they begin to push. They push and push and push, and they start sweating. They push so hard. But the bus wouldn't move. But you're trying with these guys. They are built. They are very strong. But the hole kept getting deeper. The hole was just too deep. And they're sweating. And then someone said to you, man, I got to get out of this hole. But you had somebody else on the bus and was dressed in a suit. So what you did, I said, somebody says, Clark Kent is on the bus. So you get on the bus and look at this. It said, start talking, forget the other muscle men, start talking to Clark Kent. You know, if Clark Kent now, he snatched off his jacket, snatched off his shirt and tie. You know, he's from Krypton. You know, he's the only one I need to talk to at first. He's not from here, but his strength is here. And all we had to do was talk to him, and all that sweating and getting all muddy and pushing and talking out of your head didn't do it. All you had to do was go to Clark Kent. You're going to somebody who has the power to take care of the problem in a deep hole that you're in. He takes off his shirt, and all you see is big S in his chest. And all you had to do is get out the hole. Go to Clark Kent at first. That's all you had to do. And you're breaking a sweat. Going back to these disciples, the disciples broke a sweat. They were not able to solve the problem because they missed Jesus. The reason why the man got the problem solved is that he skipped the weightlifters, all the muscle men, he skipped them, and went straight to Jesus. And when it's the deep as you are, as sick as his son was, Jesus took care of the problem, which means to know. You mean you have to know somebody. You can't be a Christian and don't know Jesus. If you say you're a Christian and don't know Jesus, you're going to every Tom, Dick, and Harry to help you with your problem. And it means you will not ever get out of that. But if you know Jesus, or know somebody who knows Jesus that can direct you to Jesus, you'll save a lot of trouble, a lot of time, a lot of heartache. In closing, I'm closing with this. Mark chapter 9. The father had a problem. Let me tell you how, oh man, God is good. Mark chapter 9, the father had a problem. Matthew doesn't tell you this, but Mark 9 chapter, the 20 to the 24th verse, they tell you. He tells you. Daddy got a problem. Jesus asked Daddy, do you believe I can heal your son? In other words, faith now. And the man says something astounding. He says, I believe, help my unbelief. Saints, sometimes you can be so overwhelmed with a problem that believing that Jesus can deliver you out of it, like this boy's father. The problem can be so burdened, so hard it looks physically, it is hard. That you said now, the doctors couldn't help. The surgeons couldn't help. Nobody could help. What Jesus going to do? You can be so burdened down, you won't even think of Jesus or believing that Jesus, all you have to do is go to him. And he will deliver you. The boy's father. He says, I believe, but I'm shaky. I'm scared. I believe, but I'm scared. I believe, but I kind of don't believe. I believe, I want to believe. Jesus, help my unbelief. I need help with my belief. Well, we give you. Do I want to do that? Yeah. Will you give me what I like so I can go deep enough to believe? And the Bible says when he asked for help, he even helped his faith so that he could have Jesus, the faith of Jesus, to do what he want, the miracle that he want Jesus to do. That is to heal his boy. And his boy was in bad shape all around. Jesus gave him the faith he needed to boast up the faith he had for the seriousness of the situation and healed his son. So get ready for your miracle. As long as you cross the faith bridge. Because here it is. Without Jesus, you cannot. But without Jesus, but without you, he cannot. Get it? Did I say it right? Without Jesus, we cannot. Without you, he cannot. Heavenly Father.